I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Camille Diaz. She is the founder of Serenity Financial, and she is an optimization coach, a passionate educator who is based in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. For those that don't know, that's sort of like the Tulsa region. Camille helps individuals build wealth through financial education, strategic coaching, and empowering them to do amazing things. One of the things I just learned is she went from teaching science to teaching ballroom dancing, and now she does financial services. Welcome.
Thank you, Craig. I'm so excited to be on the show. This is awesome.
I'm excited too. Well, and let's fill folks in on how we met.
Yeah.
We're both in something called Success Champions Networking. You're a chapter president. I'm a chapter president. And obviously we were at the president's dinner together.
Yeah.
But where I felt like I really got to know you was at the end of the summit at that closing dinner, kind of that private dinner at the distillery.
Exactly. Yes. I think we just happened to be standing next to each other in the room and, you know, casual group circulating type of thing. And you were like, "Hey, I'm Craig. Hey, I'm Camille," you know, one of those kind of things. And we just started talking and you're like, "Wait, you haven't heard anything?" And I was like, "No, I haven't heard about you at all. You hadn't heard about me at all." And so we had a blast. Like, it was instantaneous fun to talk to you. So I think that's how we ended up getting connected.
Well, I asked you to introduce me to your drug dealer.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's right. That's right. Yes.
We should probably get some context there.
Okie dokie context. So this was someone who was on my Money Heart podcast years ago, and we had talked about how the money was just too good. So he ended up dealing drugs in his neighborhood, and he knew someday he would get caught, but the money was so good, he just kept doing it. And said, "Well, I guess I'll get caught at some point." And then he did, and he went to prison. And after that, he got out and he said, "You know what? I really hated that. So maybe I'll not do that again." And so he turned his life around, and now he runs a nonprofit that supports single dads. And it is just really cool. And he's just an amazing guy. So I was kind of telling you about that story. I don't know how we got onto that topic. And then you said, "Well, introduce me to your drug dealer. I want to know this guy." So I did. And I heard he got to hang out with you. Is that right?
Yeah, we've recorded an episode. It was really good. And, you know, the thing that really interests me, I'm sure I said this to you, I think so many problems in our country, we look to Washington to solve a lot of problems. And if anything, they've proven that they're not good at solving problems.
Probably not the best problem solving group.
And, you know, what he's doing is he's really trying to get dads involved in their kids' lives, get dads in the home and involved in their kids' lives.
Yes.
And I truly believe that if we could do more of that, so many problems in our nation would just kind of magically disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. If people just had that love and support and people caring for them at home, then we wouldn't be carrying all this trauma and drama out into the rest of the world, which causes a lot of those problems. So yeah, I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Well, and the stats are just horrifying. You know, if a kid grows up without their dad, probability of going to jail, you know, being unemployed. I mean, all the things you don't want, those stats go up.
Yes, they do.
And
They
so
do.
Anyway, I really admire what he's doing. But anyway, I didn't know that you taught science. I didn't know that you taught ballroom dancing.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. So I tried really hard not to be a teacher because there's so many teachers in my family. I was like, "No, I'm a rebel. I'll do something else." Complete nonsense, fell face first into teaching, absolutely loved it. Started out, working in nonprofit zoos in their education department, running summer camps. I started as a camp counselor, then I started running the camps, and then I, was writing curriculum, things like that. Did the same for an after school program, writing curriculum, running the office, training all 70 or 80 of our staff. We had about 1,000 kids in that program. And after I moved from California, where I grew up, to the Tulsa area where I'm at the moment, I stayed home with the kids for a while. And then, really, I think my entrepreneur brain kicked in and I needed to do something. So I was in ballroom and someone I knew was starting a studio. And so we ended up starting a ballroom studio together. Just kind of shifted from teaching sciencey things I got a degree in to teaching ballroom, which was my hobby that I loved. Thought I would be doing that forever. Yay, this is so great. Until one partner left and a new partner came in, and the chemistry was terrible and everything melted down. We had, teachers were frustrated and clients were disappearing and everybody was mad at everybody all the time. So we struggled on for like another year and then we ended up closing. We broke our lease, we got sued. We went to court. We had a judgment against us. We had credit card debt that was in my name. We had construction costs that weren't paid off yet. All the things, like 0 stars, would not recommend. Don't do any of these things.
Well, and there's something you said there that the partner changed, and I've never taken on a partner, and it's partially because no, it's largely because some parting advice my dad gave me before he died was he said, if you ever go in partnership with somebody, never give away more than 50% of your business. Always keep a majority share.
Maintain control. Yes.
And I know it's held me back by not having a partner. I know I could go further if I had a partner, but I just haven't been able to kind of shed myself of that. Because just what you said, I think who you bring into your business, as a a significant, with a significant share in the business, it can make or break a business. It can be the most wonderful thing ever, or like in your case, it destroyed the business.
And it started out as the most wonderful thing ever. We had 100 people for a party on Saturday nights regularly. And that's in the world of ballroom in a relatively small city, compared to some of the other places where you would find a lot of partner dancing activities. And that partner shift changed the whole chemistry of everything and made a huge, huge difference. So it does go great when it's great. But one of the best pieces of advice I got when we were starting up, we took our agreement to an attorney, and the attorney said, I see a lot here about how you're going to start and how you're going to run it, but I don't see very much in here about what you're going to do if it ends or someone wants to leave or one of you gets really sick or injured and has to leave. You don't have any language of how to get out. So we added language on how to get out, and thank goodness we did because we really needed it.
So, what'd you do next? Now
Yeah.
you have a ton of debt and a wrecked credit score.
Right. Yeah, I had a ton of debt. My credit score wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. And it did suffer for quite a while. I put on some sweatpants. I watched a lot of TV. I hung out in my bedroom in the dark. I ate chips out of my hoodie type situation. That was my whole new plan from the at the beginning. It was pretty bad. Fortunately, people started calling me. And they would say, hey, so sorry that happened, but would you help me with my dance studio, my vet clinic, my real estate business, whatever it was? Because they saw how my brain worked. They saw how I streamlined activities. They really enjoyed their experience at the studio. And they said, come do a little bit of that over here for me. So I said, like 4 or 5 people later, I realized it was a thing I should probably charge. And that's how I started an optimization coaching and consulting business of going into businesses and helping them to streamline their activities and do things a little cleaner and faster. Yeah.
And why? So a lot of entrepreneurs have really good ideas, but they can be a little disorganized. They do some kind of silly things. Why do you think that is?
We're really good at the one thing that we do. Almost every entrepreneur has some gift, talent, specialty that they are excellent at doing that thing. But when you're on the inside, it's really hard to see the big picture. I had somebody explain it to me as it's almost impossible to read the label from the inside of this jar.
Yep.
And I was like, that's a really good analogy because you can't see the outside of the label from the inside of the jar. So when we're working on doing our thing that we're fantastic at, getting the outside perspective and being able to set up the systems, the processes, the effective things, the part where we take time off and do vacations and, know that our whole business won't implode if we don't work it for 45 seconds. Like that part is really hard for us on the inside. So I don't think it's that necessarily entrepreneurs are bad at it. It's just hard to have the outside perspective when you're deep in the inside middle.
I tell my clients, and I tell everybody, I said, don't copy my marketing. My marketing sucks. And I'm a fractional CMO.
Right.
And some of it's because I'm neglecting to do things I know I should do that I tell my client,
Sure.
things I wouldn't let my clients get away with.
Okay, yeah.
Like focusing in on a single persona, somebody that you can call their name out in the crowd, still not doing that. And I know I should. But then there's some other things that are just hard. And the way I describe it is, I say it's hard to perform surgery on yourself.
Yes.
You can be the world's best surgeon, but when you need that surgery, you're not the one to do it.
That's right. Because either you've got to knock yourself out and then it's really hard to hold the scalpel while you're asleep, or you've got to do it while you're awake and that's incredibly painful. So you've got to get somebody else.
And you just, yeah, you're missing the perspective. You're in there. You're so passionately held to something. And, just having that outside perspective, and I find for me, some of the best people, they don't tell me what to do. They just have really good questions. And sometimes when they ask a question, there was, I'm going to mispronounce his last name. Do you know Don Olmert in SCN?
Alert, yes.
Ehlert,
Yes.
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 Yeah, so I booked some time on his calendar recently,
Yeah.
and in his calendar he said, what are 10 words to describe what you do? And that was like one of those questions of, yeah, I'm really good at boiling it down for my clients, but not good at boiling it down for myself. But it was the perfect question. It was a perfect question. He
It's a
didn't even
great
know he was
question.
asking me that, other than yeah, it was in his calendar invite.
Yeah. And that's one of the hardest things to do is to boil down the essence of what we do. The shorter the statement, the harder it is to come up with. You get
Yeah.
30 minutes to ramble, easy peasy. You get 30 seconds to say something, much harder.
I read a book on copywriting years ago, and I'm drawing a blank. I'll remember his name later, but it's one of the best books I read. It was in a little flimsy paperback, but he said, but he was just really, really good stuff. And he said, your opening sentence, basically the job of your headline is to get people to read the opening sentence. Job of the opening sentence is to get people to read the first paragraph. Job of the first paragraph is to get people, real simple.
Yeah. Is that book Smart Brevity?
No, it's
Okay.
Copywriter's Handbook,
Okay, gotcha.
by Joe Sugarmore, Sugarland, Sugarman, Joe Sugarman.
Okay,
There we
nice.
go. And really, really good book. Super simple. When you're buying it, you're going to think, this isn't some, it doesn't look like any amazing book. It's a really amazing book.
Nice.
But he said that your opening sentence should be 10 sentences or 10 words or less. And it should really set the hook. And I found that that's just like incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
Just incredibly powerful. It focuses your mind. It helps you figure out, okay, if I have 10 words, what are the most 10, what's the most important thing for me to communicate?
Right.
So anyway, so you launched your new business, and how did it go?
Did. And how did I get over here? Yeah, so it went good. I was doing better, which was great. And I was networking. And somebody said, come to my class about money. And the first time they invited me, I said no, because I was still deep under and I had to look up to see bottom kind of situation. I was like, yeah, I got not just ignoring that. Not realizing that if a person is in a money struggle, it might make sense to go to the class and like learn what the wealthy people know, and then maybe it would help. I didn't even have that piece of my brain activated at that time, but that's okay. Because fortunately, they invited me again about a year later, and this time things are turned around. So I paid off debt. I was trying to save up. I was talking to an advisor, and I was ready to listen. So I said, okay, I guess I'll check it out. And the advisor I was talking to was a referral friend of a friend, somebody that I felt I could trust. But I would ask questions about things that made me nervous, like, oh, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? How does it go? And I was nervous, and they weren't really giving me answers. They were just kind of giving me the pat on the head, you'll be fine, don't worry about it, trust me to handle it type of thing. That doesn't really work for me. They say it'll be all right. My brain goes, will it? Like, I needed more questions and more solid information than that. So when I went to the class, I was worried about, oh, well, what happens if the market drops? Will I lose all my money? And then the class, they said, well, here's options of what you can do that you won't lose money if the market drops. And I was like, oh, I knew that was a thing. They just didn't tell me it was a thing. So, being open to knowing of other ideas and being open to seeing that there are other possibilities. And if I thought of it, it probably exists. I just need to find out where it is. So I go to class and I love it. And I get all set up with all my stuff, saving for myself, my kids, all that kind of stuff. And afterwards, they said, hey, would you like to come to work with us? Because you seem kind of excited about this. And I was like, heh, no, I don't know anything. So they said, that's okay. It's okay. We have a mentoring program. We can train you on the technical stuff. We're looking for people who know how to teach and coach and mentor and network. And I was like, oh, well, I've been doing that for like 15 years. So I guess I'll try it. So I tried it. At this point, it's been over 8 years since I tried it, in air quotes, and absolutely love it. Super glad I got into this industry. Probably never would have picked it if you'd made me pick something, but it's turned out to be a fantastic fit. I find most of my time is just spent teaching and sharing ideas with people.
So let's clarify what that industry is. What do you do for folks?
What do I do for folks? Yeah, so my very concise tagline is I share benefits with benefits, and I teach millionaire habits anyone can copy. But what that means is my licensing is in the life and health insurance arena, and I do all sorts of creative things with those products. So I help people with alternative health insurance strategies when they get their renewal back and they're like, that's terrible. I don't want that. Too expensive. We look at other strategies. I help people, businesses do like zero net cost options. So where they're not spending any extra money out of pocket, but they're able to offer some sort of a benefits plan to employees without extra out of pocket cost to the business or the employees.
And when you say benefits, you're talking health benefits.
Health benefits on that piece. Yeah.
Because that's insane, because the numbers I've heard are that health benefits are either the number two or number three line item in a budget. And you're saying you can make that, put that all the way to the bottom of the list, below the list.
I can. Yeah.
That's a little hard to believe.
It
I'm
is.
not trying to be confrontational, but
No,
that's a little
you're
hard to believe.
good. You're good. I get that all the time. I get that sounds too good to be true all the time. So it's done with a tax strategy, and it really is a thing. There's actually a couple of different plans that I do it with. So one's built on an accident plan, one's built on a minimum essential coverage plan. I know that's a lot of techie tech words that I just said, and it's not important in the grand scheme of things which way it's done, but it really is just done with a tax saving strategy. So rather than sending taxes off to whoever taxes go to, the taxes are getting used to pay for the plan, and it's approved in various states and legal and above board, and it's actual and a legit thing. It really is a legit thing, even though it sounds too good to be true.
Well, and the thing is, if it's going to pay people's health benefits, I think it's something that we can be excited about because
Absolutely.
it's the government has a huge problem. I mean, Medicare is going insolvent in 2032, Social Security, I think, in 2024, and all the talk recently has been about how the ACA is kind of the costs have gotten out of control. And people can't afford it anymore. We had the subsidies that were in there that were put in temporarily during the COVID years. And without those subsidies, people are like, oh my goodness, I can't afford this. You
I
can't
can't
give
do
me a
it.
big enough subsidy to afford this.
Right. Yep. So I'm always on the lookout for alternative strategies. So things that companies can do, like the zero net cost option, health shares, which companies and individuals can do, direct primary care, which is kind of like a gym membership, but to the doctor in your local area, so that you can actually have a doctor that in mine, when the one that I have an app. I can text them. I can message them. They'll answer me back. We can do video. It's really great. It's almost like having that small town doctor that comes to your house again. So, and they're popping up in cities all over the place. So it's not like it's something that's super uncommon. They're becoming much more common and easier to access. So it's really just figuring out what's right for the person. Some people have pre-existing stuff. Some people have unique situations. This stuff might not work for everybody, and I have to say that so I can be compliant here. But it's worth looking at alternative options. It's worth exploring what's out there and maybe not getting immediately trapped in that this is the only way that I can do things.
One of the applications I've heard for direct primary care, I saw somebody who is in Medicare, and I don't understand Medicare, but apparently, like a lot of your regular doctor's visits aren't covered. And so they just sign up for direct primary care. They don't get the Part B or Part C or whatever part it is of Medicare. They just get direct primary care. They pay less. And they have a doctor that's excited to see them, as opposed to a doctor who's taking Medicare patients because they sort of have to, but they're losing money.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly the mindset of figure out what a solution is that actually works for you, get you what you want. And that's the important part is, are we getting the healthcare we need and are we staying healthy? So that's really the part that's needed. So I love that. That's a perfect story of, hey, if I do this way, and this way, it usually is putting more than one thing together. And a lot of times people are like, I just want a one and done solution. I want this one thing and that's it. And I don't want to have to think about it again. And that's where we kind of tend to be. But sometimes now we're getting to the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to piece it together. I'll take a little bit from here, a little bit from here, put these two together. Now I get a solution that I can afford that actually does what I need it to do and that I'm happy to go use and I'm getting the care that I need. So that's just kind of the new ways, piece it together.
And I think there's still a lot of confusion out there about what direct primary care is. What is that?
Yeah, so it's essentially where you pay like a membership directly to a group of doctors, a doctor or a group of doctors. And think about it like if you were to join the gym. I think most people understand what it's like to join the gym. Okay, you pay for the gym, you can go to the gym. That's how that works. You pay for the doctors, you can go to the doctors. So it's not insurance. They're not, charging, but all of those basic visits, you get to go. That's included in your membership. And they specify what the rules are for their particular practice. Typically, they'll have relationships with labs or pharmacies or other doctors that are specialists. So if you need that other type of service, they can refer you out to the place that needs to that for you to get whatever it is you need there. They usually have a relationship with a lab so that the lab cost is reasonable, and then you just pay out of pocket for those things. Or you might have another plan that covers that stuff.
Yeah.
Does that kind of make
And
sense?
I think, and what I've heard is that membership. So, and let's give some numbers. I've heard numbers anywhere from like $80, $90 a month, all the way up to like 100 or 120, maybe 130.
That sounds about right.
And that includes your annual physical.
Sure.
And I think, I know at least a couple I've seen that also includes your blood work for your annual physical.
Yeah. It just depends on the place. They
Yeah.
all have their own, like, because it's an individual group of doctors, they get to decide what they're going to offer and what the stuff's going to be. So whatever they work out is what you get. But yeah, could totally include your blood work and stuff like that. For them, it's advantageous because if they're getting you to come in regularly, now we're focusing on keeping you healthy and not just managing when you get sick.
Right. And like you said, a lot of them they'll have a place you can call in the middle of the night. The thing I hate, here's part of the racket with healthcare. If I've got weird green stuff coming out of my head, and I know I need an antibiotic. The only way the doctor can get paid for prescribing an antibiotic is for me to come do a visit. for which they're going to charge me $100 for. And then they can code it and then they can prescribe it. But with a direct primary care, you can call them up and say, hey, here's what's coming out of my head. They're like, why don't we just put you on an antibiotic? They can call it into the pharmacy. You don't have to go in their office and expose them and anybody else in the office to be,
Right?
yeah,
Yeah,
which is
that's
kind
nice.
of a bonus for everybody.
It is. And you don't have to go sit in a waiting room with a bunch of other people that have different green stuff coming out and then potentially catch a new thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
So this episode's going to come out probably after annual renewal. You know,
That's
and so
fine.
all these businesses are going
Yeah.
through, they're doing their annual renewal and health benefits.
Yeah.
And are you locked into like the annual renewal cycle?
Thankfully, I am not. So I do more than one thing. Life insurance is probably a bigger part of my business than even the health part is. But as far as the zero net cost stuff goes, that is, we start people at the beginning of every month. And since there's no additional cost, it doesn't matter when your annual renewal is. You can layer it on at any time. It's not going to cost you anything extra to do it. So yeah, I'm not locked into the annual renewal cycle. It does tend to be busy at that time because that's when people are thinking about it, but we're not trapped. So it's kind of awesome.
So if I, let's say I have a company health plan and I just signed up for annual renewal and yeah, and I did it with like a big lump in my throat because I just got hit with
Sure.
another 20, 25% year-on-year
Yeah.
price increase. Could I call you in February and say, hey, can you get me out of this?
You can always call me. It depends on your contract if you can cancel before the end of the year or not. However, if you wanted to layer on a zero net cost and maybe shift some of your claims over there and get your employees used to using it, you could do that at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just, I mean, like, for example, the major medical that I used to have with my company, so we used to offer it before we started shifting. So some of these other options, we were able to cancel at any time. But I don't know for every other company if you have that deal where you can cancel at any time or not. So it's kind of just individual.
Well, if nothing else, you know, if you're shifting some of the claims over to your zero net cost model, that means the claims against your existing plan are going
That's right.
down,
That's right. Yes.
which means when you're coming up for renewal, you could actually, if you decide you're coming up for renewal and you want to keep riding the horse you've been riding, you're coming in at a lower price because your
Most
claims have gone
likely.
down.
Right. And if you're to the point of doing a self-funded or level-funded plan, now you might be getting money back because you didn't use it all.
Oh, wow. Oh wow.
Yeah.
I think somebody, I think folks need to call you. So, how do people reach you? And how do people reach you?
Yeah, so LinkedIn's probably where I spend the most of my time. If you're looking for me on social media, I'm literally just LinkedIn/in/Camille Diaz. So just have my name on there. At Cam Unfiltered is where I'm at on other socials. So Instagram, Facebook, things like that. And then I've got a website, you know, CamilleDiaz.com. Really easy. Put something in the contact. So yeah, super, super easy to find me.
Well, excellent. Well, thanks for sharing that on Leaders and Legacies.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. Is it okay to share a little freebie if somebody wants it?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So, one of the things I love to teach is millionaire habits anyone can copy. Things like we talked about today, having alternative strategies for things, going out and looking for solutions that really match what you want. So, I've got a little free PDF, 6 Millionaire Habits Anyone Can Copy, CamilleDiaz.com/habits.
Excellent. And we'll include that in the show notes as well. Thank you
Thank you.
so much.
Thank you so much, Craig. This is amazing.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest. And sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.